Okay.
All right, let's get back to throw the question. Let's get back to Tanner's Land Associates. Is this discussion of the commission and the matters before the commission? No, well, hold on a minute. Does anybody object to this? Has any other comments on Taylor's, on Tanner's Landing Associates, LLC? Any objections or comments? Hearing none, is before the commission. Don't everybody jump at one time.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Garrison, I recommend we accept staff's recommendation to authorize the approve the permit and with the rents and royalties as calculated by staff.
Second.
All right, second. Mr. Schick, any more comments? All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion is carried. Thank you, Tracy. You going to be with us all day, Tracy?
Yes, sir.
I guess some of them old tall boys over the hip or something.
No rest for the weary, sir.
Water's Edge Home Association. Number 8.
I have somebody keep my class today, so I just called to find out.
They're not out here with a rope or anything, are they?
I didn't go out.
Kathy, I'd like to go right to the slide.
I stayed in the other room.
Water's Edge Home Association requests authorization to construct a 200-foot-long by 6-foot-wide open-pile community pier adjacent to their property, situated along the southwest branch of Back River in Hanson. The project is protested by 2 nearby Oyster Ground leaseholders. The project is located in this location. This is Langley Air Force Base across the water. The condominium association is located here. It's the King Street Bridge. King Street entrance to Langley Air Force Base is right here. There was a community pier there, which was constructed on top of pilings remaining from an abandoned railroad crossing that previously existed at the condominium complex. According to several conversations I've had with association representatives, it appeared that the pier was constructed sometime in the late 1980s or early 1990s. That pier was destroyed during Hurricane Isabel. However, neither staff nor the association have been able to find any evidence of local, state, or federal regulatory authorities properly authorizing a community pier at this location. Since Executive Order 58 specifies that only previously authorized structures that were destroyed during Hurricane Isabel could be replaced, we were unable to authorize the replacement of this pier under the executive order. The association was advised to submit a joint permit application requesting the replacement of the pier, which was done. I'll go ahead and get you oriented to the project. This photograph was taken approximately 6 months ago. Again, this is the community that we're speaking of here. This is the gate to get onto Langley, which is behind me as I'm taking this picture. This will be the location of the proposed community pier here. Since this picture has been taken, the association has removed some of the pilings here close to their bulkhead, which, of course, is not reflected in this photograph because of when it was taken. It's a ground shot, again, taken in the summer. Some of these pilings here have been removed. I did take a more recent ground shot, but it was raining that day, and it was too dark. It didn't come out, which is why I left this one here in the proposal. 3 Oyster Ground leaseholders in the vicinity of the project have been notified. So that would be Mr. Hogg, whose lease is here, Mr. Wesson, whose lease is here, and Mr. Hansen, whose lease is here. 2 leaseholders objected to the proposal. Mr. Weston is concerned that he will be prevented from planting shell and harvesting shell near the pier once it's replaced. He would also like the association to leave the derelict piles in place since they host an oyster population. Mr. Hansen has stated that he believes that the area will once again be productive for oysters in the future. In evaluating the concerns of the leaseholders, we asked both leaseholders to present some documentation regarding any harvesting activities or other activities that take place on the lease over the last 3 years. Mr. Hansen stated that over the last 3 years, he's planted shell and he's pulled his dredge with no bag to turn the shells, and he's also used hand tongs to clean the shell piles. Mr. Weston has stated he has scraped the bottom to turn the shells. He acknowledged, though, that there has been no oyster production on the lease. Go ahead and go through the slides a little more. This is a plan view drawing and a side view. And I'll leave you with a final aerial while we finish our discussion. The Department of Health, in a letter dated May 19, 2004, initially recommended that this application be denied because they had not received an application for sewage facilities, nor had the project been granted a variance. This letter further suggests that the facility had not gone under proper regulatory review nor been authorized by the proper authorities, because had it been, Department of Health would have had a variance on file. Initially, the agent for the project, Mr. Steve Fisher, and after Mr. Fisher's separation from the project, Associate Representative Mr. Paul Oxley worked with Department of Health to secure compliance with sanitary regulations for marinas and other boat moorings. Staff finally received an authorization letter from the Department of Health this past August 5th of 2005. Both of those letters are in your packet. The August 5th letter stated that the project was in compliance and the Health Department no longer had any concerns with the project proposal. Since it appears that the structure was never authorized prior to its construction in the 1980s or early 90s, it was never subjected to the appropriate public interest review. Considering that, staff was concerned that the association might not have any legal rights to the old railroad trestle at all. The current association representative that I'm working with, Ms. Nancy LaCrosse, consulted with the association's attorney. He concluded that the association does own the trestle, although he did not indicate in his letters the total linear footage of the trestle that falls under the ownership. This was indicated in a December 8th letter that's also in your packet. Ms. LaCrosse, at the time that this was written, Ms. LaCrosse had stated in a telephone conversation that 340 linear feet of the trestle falls under the ownership of the association. It's my understanding from the recent telephone conversation I've had with her that she's consulted with Langley Air Force Base, and that is actually closer to 300 feet of trestle that falls under their ownership. VIM's original comments from May 2004, which are in your packet, discuss proposed wet slips. Those are no longer proposed. You'll notice in the back of your packet, section 6, are 7 different revised drawings that staff has considered during the evaluation of this project. The one that's before us today is the most recent one, but the original staff, VIM's comments, were on an item where wet slips were proposed. You'll notice that there are also VIM's revised comments on that same page from October 2005, which they state the project is now acceptable. As you saw from the project drawings, those wet slips have been removed. In summary, by the admission of the leaseholders, the lease grounds adjacent to the applicant's property are not commercially productive. However, the leaseholders have actively maintained the leases in attempt to make productive use of the area should the conditions improve. VMRC permits clearly state that the permit is subject to any lease of oyster planting grounds in effect. Excuse me, I'm losing my voice. And that nothing in the permit can be construed as allowing the permittee to encroach on a lease without the consent of the leaseholder. As such, staff recommends that the commission approve the construction of the community pier at this location with the stipulation that the pier design be modified and shortened so that it does not encroach onto the lease ground of either Mr. Weston or Mr. Hansen. You'll notice that in staff's recommendation here, there is no royalty recommendation at this time because we didn't feel we should recommend a royalty on a pier that we weren't actually recommending approval for. Staff will calculate the royalty once the shortened pier has been submitted to staff for review. Staff further recommends that, in accordance with Section 28.2.1209 of the Code of Virginia, that the Commission should require the Association to remove all of the remaining abandoned pilings from within the footprint of the old railroad trestle that are under their admitted ownership. And that's all. If anybody has any questions for me.
Who owns the abandoned railroad trestle?
A portion of it is owned by the Association, and approximately 300 feet. I believe Ms. LaCrosse has more detailed linear footage.
Who owns a balance of
it? Langley Air Force Base.
So it was all but Langley, okay.
Yes, sir.
Any more questions, Tracy?
Can you put the oyster leases map back up?
These are labeled in reverse. This is actually King Street, and the footprint of the abandoned trestle is this.
And they're looking to build the pier to the left of the trestle where there's no oyster ground?
In approximately the same.
In the same area. So that it all would be in somebody's leased area.
This.
Because you're talking about making it shorter.
Yes, sir. This portion of the waterway is not leased ground here.
How many feet can they go out? Because they're planning for 200 feet long. You said they can't go out over a lease. How many feet are you talking about them? They can go out with this?
I'd like to defer to Mr. Stagg on that. The GIS that he has access to is actually a little more accurate than mine, and he has measured that. I believe he said it was 85 to 90 feet.
I did speak to Ms. LaCrosse. I don't recall the exact number. I believe 85 to 90 feet was correct. That she may have that number.
And that's what staff is proposing, is not to exceed the distance so it won't go into other oyster grounds.
Yes, sir. We would propose that they'd be allowed to construct their community pier right up to the lease line, but not to encroach onto the lease.
So approximately what point on this picture?
Approximately
right there.
To there,
okay.
Yes.
Right.
Now, the system that staff has access to has an error of about 50 feet, so this is more a cartoon of what's there than what's accurately there, but it's good enough to work with.
And they basically want to go twice as far.
Yes, sir.
And the owner would take out the old railroad pilings in that first 85 or 90 feet, whatever it is?
It's my understanding that they were going to reuse any that were sturdy enough that could be reused, but a good majority of them were rotted and broken off. And
they would clean that area up as far as their pier went.
Yes, sir.
And you would also request that they clean up everything they own out to 300 feet or something.
We'd like you to consider that, yes.
But the oyster ground holder doesn't want that done.
No, sir. The leaseholders find that there's a good habitat for the oysters.
More questions from Tracy? Thank you, Tracy. Is the applicant present?
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Would you raise your right hand? You swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, help you God?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. Will you state your name?
Nancy LaCrosse. I'm a homeowner at 22 Water's Edge Circle, Hampton, Virginia. We have Mr. Harris was here earlier to represent us, and he had a hearing date, so he had to leave. I would like to ask if anyone from Woodchuck is here, our contractors. They're not. I'm the secretary of Water's Edge Homeowners Association, and I guess I'm going to have to do this presentation since our president resigned two months ago. So I'll do the best that I can, and I am a little nervous. This is what we represent, our association, which is volunteer work. None of us are paid to serve on the board at Water's Edge.
Would you go back to the microphone?
Mm-hmm. We're a small community of 30 homeowners, and this is a outline of who lives there and the board of directors, and I'll present that. after Isabel, which destroyed our boardwalk, which surrounded the complex, and it destroyed our bulkhead, and we had refinished or repaired the old railroad trestle out 420 feet into Back River. That was done in 1991. Our board of directors only serve usually 1 year, and it's all volunteer work. So we have a constant changeover at the community. And we're not experts at what we do. We just try to do the best that we can. When I researched the background of the repairs to the pier back in 1991, we found out that they had never requested a permit to do the repairs. So therefore, we were told that we needed to submit a new application for a permit. The wetlands approved, their board approved, gave us a permit. We changed the style and the construction of the pier to move it back where it was, which is the center of the bulkhead. We've had contractor problems, serious contractor problems. I have 5 pages of research that I have done on this pier, of the progress of this pier. And we basically are asking to put back a new pier 200 feet out. That's the bottom line. We had originally requested 300 feet to the left. We were going to build the pier, and then we moved it back to the center. It was suggested by the commission that we take out the pilings. We did that, which was an additional cost. And to give you a little background on what happened, we requested a loan after Isabel from the SBA and FEMA, and we were granted a $123,000 loan. The reason for this is we're low middle class people, older people that are in this community of 30 homeowners. So we requested an SBA loan. In the meantime, our contractor was having problems. We couldn't get a permit. So, needless to say, lots of problems here. This is what our pier looked like before Isabel took it out. We fish and we crab, and I fish and I crab. I've also been into the water. It's a mud flat. We never knew that that the oystermen had lease beds out there. We never found this out until we applied for this permit here, and we were told that there was oyster lease beds out there. I've lived there 21 years, and I have fished and crabbed on that pier, and I have never seen a boat come in there and take out any oysters out of there. And there's only one area that we're encroaching on the oyster beds property, which is to the right. Let me submit this first. This is the way the pier did look. And this is the picture that Mr. Ben Stagg, thank you, sir, for your helping me. I think they all know my name down here because I was researching all this information. To the right, Mr. Hansen's property. 85 feet we would go with a 200-foot pier into his oyster bed. Mr. Hogg is not affected. He's to the left, and there is a space in there which is vacant, to the left of the old railroad trestle. And I'm sorry that we did not get a permit. We had and I wasn't on the board at that time. I think they did everything in good faith. They contracted that out with DSS Enterprises, and in my research, I tried to find that contractor at that time, and I was unable to. So we don't know if he got permission. Evidently, he didn't, because Tracy said we never had a permit to repair that old railroad trestle. So that was, I'm sorry, we just evidently they didn't do it, whoever was on the board. And like I said, I think they did it in good faith. So we are asking from you. And the trestle itself, and I got this from Langley Real Estate Office, the old railroad trestle was built back in 1900, and its length was approximately 1,737. The Air Force requested that the north be retained for recreational purposes, which they have a pier over there. And Peninsula Development, which later became Tempo Development, a private concern, informally requested the privilege to purchase 305 feet on the southernmost of the trestle. That's us. So we're asking for a permit to put back 200 feet of the area where there are no pilings. We've already taken out the pilings 200 feet out.
You had a 420-foot facility to start with.
Right. That's what we repaired, 420 feet, so that it was safe to fish and crab. Yes. And this is Lorraine Hawley. She's one of the homeowners that's with me today.
If it's commercial production.
All right. Any more questions, Ms. Cross? Ms. Cross, you're aware that the permit states that the people want to keep their oyster grounds active. Is that correct?
I understand, sir. I oyster myself. I clam, and I've been in the water out there.
All right.
Yes, I understand.
Thank you, ma'am.
And I respect that.
Do you have anybody else that'd like to speak on this issue with you?
No, I don't.
Okay. Is anybody here opposed to this?
Thank you.
Budget. Raise your right hand. Swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, help your God.
I will.
State your name.
My name's John Hanson. I'm the leaseholder where this supposedly pier wants to be.
Mm-hmm.
I probably know more about that area than I would expect anybody living right now. My grandfather, my great-grandfather, my father, me, hopefully my grandson will oyster there. This pier is just one big man-made oyster rock, and luckily the better part of it is in my ground. The spat strikes to the pilings, the ice comes and knocks it off. There's a pile of shells the entire length of this pier and approximately 6 feet on each side of it. Up until in the 80s, I could just about figure on catching 500 to 800 bushels a summer working on it. All big market-sized oysters. Then, as the council knows, we had problems in the oyster business in Virginia. Well, no one was hit any harder than a private ground holder. I had 535 acres. I think I'm down now to about 150 acres. I'm holding on to that because it's the best in Back River. It grew more oysters. It produced constantly. So if all of us private leaseholders give up hope, then there's not going to be any oysters if they come back. When this apartment complex was built, I was oystering them. And the only time that I ever had words with these people was two people wearing suits came walking down there and said, "Hey, what the hell are you doing?" And I said, "I'm oystering." They said, "Well, you can't oyster here." I said, "Yes, I can oyster here. Leave me alone." And they left. I've never had a phone call. I've never had anything from these people asking for anything from me. All I've ever wanted to do was oyster my ground. We oyster up beside it. I have short tongs, 7 feet tall, that I use to get underneath this bridge. When the Home Association came in 91, I believe she said, and rebuilt their pier, they didn't rebuild the pier. They started out on the end 420 feet or however far it was, and they started picking up railroad ties that were bolted or nailed into the bridge. Well, they brought them inshore, and they started stacking them, and it gave them a solid deck. They didn't put one nail in them. When the hurricane came, Isabel, all those railroad ties left. They're something that we'll be running into now for probably the next 30 or 40 years. There has never been a pier there other than something that was dangerous to walk on. The pier's rotten. It's been rotten as long as I've been around. Now they want to come and replace it, and I feel sure that when they come to do this, they aren't going to want me in there oystering around their pier. They've already told me they pull the pilings up. Well, I'm sure they've broken some of them off, so I won't be able to tong oysters around them. I can't pull my dredge around it to turn the oyster shells over. When they build their new pier, all my oyster rock that's just for the heck of it, say 25 feet long and 2 or 3 feet high, is going to be underneath their pier. That's where it's going to be. I don't want them to build a pier. And in here it says the staff recommended that it does not encroach on the leased grounds of either Mr. Weston or Mr. Hansen. Me and my family always thought that our oyster ground ran to the low water mark. The low water mark is not 85 feet. That's all I can say to the matter.
Thank you, Mr. Do
you have any questions?
Any questions, Mr. Taylor? How large is your oyster ground there? How many acres?
How many acres?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that one piece right there is, I thought it had it on here, but I'm going to say it's probably about 35 acres. But, she said part of it was vacant underneath of it, or vacant down there. Well, part of it is a strip that I'd only be guessing is probably 8 feet wide and 100 feet long. My ground on the down the riverside runs from the low water mark all the way out, almost to the middle of the bridge.
I can show you right here, probably even better. If you'll look right here where it says abandoned, you'll see a dotted line. That dotted line is the vacant part. And the depth of that bridge is 8 feet wide, so you can see roughly how wide the portion is that I don't own. But I own both sides of it.
But how much of this 200-foot dock is it going to take up of your oyster grounds?
Well, it will take from the low water mark off.
So your oyster ground is where it says two.
Hansen.
And that was with the relocation?
This one right here.
That was with the relocation, not the gentleman said the question. That was with the relocation.
Does it encroach with the relocation that staff is...
200 feet definitely does. I just heard while she was making her talk on it, something about 85 feet.
That's the part that never gets to anybody. This part right here.
I know the low water mark there isn't 85 feet, but if it comes to the point where I have to give them something, I'll give them 85 before I give them 200.
So she's showing the line across. Stacy was showing your lease across.
Stacy, could you clarify
85
that
feet
for us,
the shoreline.
Please. I'm sorry. Ben, would you clarify that for us?
Lease line. This is just most of the shore lease. I don't believe it goes all the way to Nemo Water, which would be approximately here. The old trestle was...
And where are you?
I have to scale this. better than this, but I believe this is clearly 85 feet.
Right.
Yeah, that's what we were told, but I was precious and precious.
Which is right at the edge of his oyster ground.
At least goes up, and there may be a gap here. I'd have to see if there's a
line. So that's where, the vacant portion, right?
Yeah, and
so
where...
between these two leases, but it goes up and over and up.
I hate to be so terribly dense, but where will this pier go, and how will it encroach?
The pier will start about here, and 200 feet would go on into this lease.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, 200 feet would...
More or less 85 feet.
And that would...
not be 85.
And would that encroach or not?
Once you hit here, it's an encroachment.
No, if it was only 85 feet long.
Well, we have to really have to have the lease line stuck.
They'd have to determine where the low water mark was or where my lease line was. But I
have staff recommendation was to stop it wherever that
was. Okay.
But Ms. LaCrosse wanted the 200 feet, as I understood. All right. So what we need to do, if Ms. LaCrosse wanted 200 feet, the question in my mind is to prove that or disapprove it.
Could I say one more thing?
Yes, sir.
I'm the eternal optimist. I've been paying oyster ground rent myself since about 1967 or 8. My granddad had it before me and my great-granddaddy. There's been times that oysters have died. 1966, every oyster in Back River died. But they came back. We held on to our land. We held on to all of our boats, our ground. I mean, I've got a shed full of oyster tongs now and scrapes. I'm just sitting back waiting. That's all I'm doing is I'm waiting. And if the oysters come back, that's a big part of my oyster business, is where this pier is going to be.
Thank you, sir. Is anybody else in opposition to this matter? I have to wait just a minute. Say, you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, help you God? Mm-hmm. Give us your name.
W. H. Weston, Jr.
All right, sir. You are the leaseholder in the area.
Leaseholder, that one that's sticking right there.
Would you point to your grounds,
yes,
Mr. Weston?
Yes,
all right, sir. How many acres in there, Mr. Weston?
3,600.
Sir?
3,600.
All right, sir.
Yeah. Well, it's been in my family over 60 years. Mrs. Hansen's too, way back. And we know to realize that arches is not good now, you know, for some time. We all realize that.
Can you give us a distance from your closest point where this 200-foot pier might be? Does the 200-foot pier reach your property, proposed pier? I don't think it does.
Not really. Yeah.
So you're just in the area.
I'm adjacent to it. You know.
You're adjacent to it?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right.
I'm adjacent to it.
You're adjacent to it. And we had your name listed here as adjacent leaseholder.
Sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. All right.
What I would like to do, I mean, what we're hoping it will come back, which I want to plant some shells and all, but hope we will get the strike back. And like it is now, it's been like a few years that we have nothing to work on to give us a... Won't know if we've worked anything for the last 3 years, but it hasn't been nothing to work on. And I'm concerned, too, when they put the pilings down and put the pier down, it's going to get that silt and all. It's all going to cover the bottom.
But you still hold your lease?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
It's still hold the bottom. It's going to cover the lease.
Right.
And like I say, it's through the years, where the pilings was, it's been it was strike and fall down. And then it's been kind of a natural rock there. But right now, it's been sort of been died. But like when they drive all the pilings and do all that silk is going to go from selling right on the bottom. I don't know how that's going to happen.
All right, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Anybody else wish to address this issue?
Very
quickly.
Yes.
in this letter that was sent to from Mr. Hansen back to Virginia Marine Resources, he said at that time that these oyster beds were not productive, and all of the information that we listened to today, the oysters have not been productive in most areas.
There's a difference between non-productive and he still holds the lease.
Yes, I understand that, sir.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's only one of the oyster men that were encroaching on his property,
all right,
85.
Thank you,
ma'am. Thank you.
All right. Ms. LaCrosse says they want 200 feet. It encroaches on the oyster ground. The matter is before the commission if there's no other objections from the, anybody wants to.
Mr. Chairman, I truly don't have a problem with the 200 feet. Once the dock's put in, those pilings are going to do the same thing the old pilings did. The oysters are going to get on, fall off, and go on the oyster ground. So I think it's going to benefit the oystermen.
But can he realistically cross over into oyster lease putting in pilings? By law.
Yeah.
What's the question?
Can he go over top of an oyster lease, this association putting in piling to build a pier?
A riparian owner can. I understand that this, I need to dialogue a little bit with staff here. This is not considered a riparian pier because this is a community pier. A riparian pier can, and I guess it's just primarily because of the bases of the permits or staff commission policy that you try to avoid the conflict. Otherwise, it seems to me you're taking into account all of the factors of the 28.2-1205, which would include impact on moisture ground.
Right. If this were just a standard private non-commercial riparian pier, 28.2-630 provides that the person, if the permit is approved, has to give the leaseholder 1 year of notice of where that pier is going to go. In the event it's determined by the commission not to be commercially productive, that one-year period can be waived. However, that's for a private non-commercial riparian pier. In this case, we're treating it, you know, as a commercial structure, i.e. community structure, and it becomes a property, a civil matter between the leaseholder, it's a chattel real, and the individual, you know, I mean, if the commission opted to give a permit, there's a specific condition in the permit that says it does not authorize encroachment on leasehold without the consent of the leaseholder. So, yes, you can approve it. That puts the burden on the civilly between the leaseholder and the permittee at that point. The staff's recommendation is, since the pier is not for mooring and it's for crabbing and fishing and just sightseeing, is that just forego that and allow it to go to wherever the lease line is. If that's 85 feet, or if the line's stuck and it's, you know, 90 feet, it would be to the limit of the lease line that Mr. Hansen has obtained from the state.
One question. The fact that there were pilings there and then they bought those pilings gives them no standing to replace pilings?
No, the piling was a...
It was a trestle.
Trestle for a railroad. It was back probably in the early 1900s. At the time that the railroad ceased to exist, someone should have probably required the railroad to pull out the pilings, as is done nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Mrs. LaCrosse said apparently there was some discussion because the Navy implored the railroad at the time to allow them to keep a certain portion of the northern pier. If they weren't claiming ownership to 300 feet of the pilings, our recourse would be to seek to find, you know, whoever the original railroad or the successors entitled, you know, were. In this case, they've said that they've acquired 300 feet. They've already removed apparently 200 feet, which is not reflected in the slides. And if the commission were to approve it, you know, our recommendation would be, since it's a derelict, non-usable structure, just to remove the remaining portion of it. But yeah, that's.
I would conject an opinion, and they leave it up to the commission, that it appears, in all fairness to everyone concerned, the leaseholders are hoping, like other oyster grounds, to be productive a long time, that we approve 85 feet or whatever footage it might be from mean low water to that oyster line that Mr. Hansen has. That's my opinion. But Mr.
Yeah, are you ready for a motion,
yes, sir.
Chairman? I would move that the permit be issued to go up to the leasehold but not enter the leasehold, and in accordance with the wishes of the oyster leaseholders, that the community not be required to remove the piling because apparently the piling are helpful to the oysters. And I think there's something about royalties the staff can assess the royalties in it.
Staff has to assess the royalties. We make a motion to approve.
Right.
Can I hear a second?
I'd like to add a friendly amendment.
Yes.
That if this, if the lease line ends up being less than 50 feet, that we still approve 50 feet of pier.
I'll accept that.
Now, say that again.
If the lease line shows that it's actually less than 50 feet to the shoreline, so that means they would have a shorter pier than 50 feet,
right, right.
That we would approve at least 50 feet.
Right. All right. You understand the amendment,
yep.
Dr. Jones? Mr. Bowden.
I think there's a little discussion here that people might be confused. Productive and active is two different things. You need an active lease to retain your lease. You have to use either try to grow things on it, you have to plant shells and different things, and clearly they've done that. So they have an active lease. And that's all required by the Code of Virginia is your lease has to be active to retain it in a 10-year period of time. So, you know, the productivity part doesn't really apply.
Yeah, I understood that all along. I think we brought that earlier, but I thank you for reminding us that was productivity was not an issue here. All right. We have a motion and a second. All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion is carried. Now, Ms. LaCoste, do you understand the motion? All right, the motion is means you can only go out the distance, we're guessing, 85 feet. That's as far as you can go to that oyster lease line. Your contractor will have to establish that line for Mr. Hansen's property line with oyster lease. You can go no further with your pier than that. That's what's been approved.
Okay, well, we don't really know what that line is.
You'll have to establish that line. Yes, ma'am. If you hire a contractor, he'd have to get a civil engineer or some engineering firm to establish that line. So you can't take your pier. You can go out to that line. It's been approved.
Mr. Garris.
Unless it's less than 50 feet.
Unless it's less than 50 feet.
They can do it. I mean, staff can do it if asked. The engineering department can establish the line.
The police or our surveyors will have to be the ones to take the line. Minimum of 50 feet, regardless of where the lease line is.
Right. I understand the 50 foot, but, I mean, what did you tell me to establish that line? Doesn't that be a
surveyor? Leaseholders under certain requirements to maintain the lease.
Okay.
That seems fair.
If he can establish the inside, really talking about, you know, the inside boundary line.
Right.
Two points.
Right.
In the event that's a problem, we can establish that.
Okay.
Inside boundary, not in the entire lease.
Thank you. All right, finally, Paul Evans.
Last one.
All day?
Your voice going to hold that stress?
I think so.
You have the day off tomorrow?
Is anybody else doing any work in your office?
Nope. I carry the whole state.
What have the rest of y'all been doing?
I started to call you one day on your phone where you said you were busy for 9 days. I know what you're doing now.
I gave them the month off.